Why can't we get declined?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Financial institutions these days are looking for ways to make money, and they certainly have found one tried and true way. A Financial Times report says this year, U.S. banks will charge their customers more than $38.5 billion in overdraft fees. That's billion with a B. Tamara Keith joins us with more live from Washington. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning.
So how are we ratcheting up more than $38 billion in these fees?
Well, you know, it's quick cash for the banks. And the Financial Times reports that the recession has driven them to focus more on these fees to boost their balance sheets. And overdraft fees, in some ways, are like the mother load for them because they just keep coming. The paper says that the fees collected this year will be nearly double those collected in 2000.
So how much do these fees cost?
Well, they are in the $25, $35 range. Most of us probably don't even remember signing up for overdraft protection, but, you know, odds are we've got it. And the banks provide this as, you know, a kind service to help us avoid bounce checks and things like that. And the banks are basically fronting us the cash. So say you go to the drugstore and you want to buy a pack of gum and you don't have any money in your checking account. Well, instead of getting declined, the bank will just cover the $1 pack of gum and then charge you, oh, say, $35 as a convenience fee. And advocates say this is basically unfair and abusive and that it's hitting lower income consumers the hardest.
So they're saying this, but what's being done about it?
Well, what's being done about it is advocates are pushing hard for changes. One thing that they want in particular is to go back to the old days where if you used your ATM card to buy gum and you should be declined, that you could actually be declined. And the Federal Reserve is looking into this, and it's in the process of doing rulemaking.
All right. Tamara Keith joining us from Washington. Tamara, thanks.
Thank you.
Markets this morning, European shares mostly lower right now, all under 1%. Asian shares closed higher today, the Hang Seng by more than 2.5%. On Wall Street Friday, the S&P and NASDAQ added 1.3%, the Dow up more than 113 points. And for the week, markets were up about 2% last week here at home. Dish Network says profits in the second quarter tumbled 81%. The satellite provider blames rising expenses and litigation costs associated with TiVo. But Dish did say they added subscribers, about 26,000 of them, and that's the first time that's happened in more than a year. So the Senate's on summer recess, right? And lawmakers may have postponed any action on climate legislation till they return, but that doesn't mean the lobbyists are taking a break. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The House climate bill passed in June would require all new homes be 30% more efficient by 2010. But the National Association of Home Builders, Bill Kilmer, says that's too far, too fast. He says the bill's tougher efficiency standards would stall any housing rebound.
If you take this action, it really will be a shock to the system. And the concern is that you could stall that rebound if you're adding cost.
Kilmer says those measures would cost about $4,000 extra. But efficiency advocates point out that once those costs are rolled into a 30-year mortgage, the energy savings far outweigh the higher payments. William Fay directs the Building Energy Efficient Codes Network.
This is money in the wallet of the homeowner.
According to the U.S. Department of Energy, homeowners would net more than $500 a year in energy savings, despite the home's higher sticker price. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
If you're one of those people who hits the mute button the second some obnoxious commercial comes on television, you'll be happy to know that Congress has gotten involved, and ultra-loud advertising could be on its way out. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
Everyone's heading to Arby's for the official $5 combo of summer.
Where's the remote control? That's better. Marketing professor Sam Craig at NYU says advertisers spend in the hundreds of thousands of dollars for a 30-second spot.
So if they can crank up the volume a little bit to get over the clutter and the din that's in the household, they're likely to do it.
They can't do it too much. Under the current rules, a commercial can't be louder than the loudest part of the program you're watching. But if your Charlie's Angels rerun happens to cut away during a tender love scene...
Order in the next 3 minutes and you can have
the amazing... That proactive ad can sound especially jarring. Advertisers also use an audio trick called compression to make the sound jump out of your TV set. A bill under consideration in the House would force them to rein it in. David Donovan is president of the Association for Maximum Service Television. He says the industry is working on its own solution.
Our bottom economic line essentially is advertising. And if people start saying, I'm annoyed and they're turning this off, we know we have to fix this.
Donovan says the fix involves using digital TV technology to better match the volume of commercials to the programming. He says broadcasters will vote on a new standard this fall. I wanted to know how that squared with one of the legends of the loud commercial.
Beat the heat! Beat the heat with a fan or air conditioner from Crazy Eddie!
I tracked down Jerry Carroll. He was pitchman for the New York area electronics chain Crazy Eddie in the 1970s and 80s. Carroll says Crazy Eddie believed in volume in both senses of the word.
You would have a night between midnight and 6 where, I mean, he was on every station. He was on 2-3 times an hour. I mean, I don't blame people. I'd get sick of me, too.
Carroll says there's a reason he kept shouting all those years.
The lines into the store were always long, and it really did work.
Even with new rules, pitchmen like Carroll will likely keep shouting. They'll just have to do it more quietly. Carroll says if an ad annoys you, do what he does. Change the channel. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And staying in New York, finally, the Times Square Advertising Coalition, TSAC for short, wants New York City to nix an idea of putting anything that blocks a clear view of their more than 150 blazing, glowing, neon shining signs in the area. The city wants to spruce up the area with pedestrian plazas and, yes, umbrellas and tables. TSAC says those things are great, but hey, don't let those things block the view. The city's still mulling over the umbrellas. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.